Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Happy Friday, Junior. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. It is Thursday. It is Throwback Thursday. In the spirit of that,
no, don't.
I got to say, because I want to make this connection, and I think a lot of people around there, shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. I think they can connect with me here. Frank Beamer, not once but twice, when asked about Michael Vick, made it clear that Michael Vick loved dogs. Let's go back in time. Triple Threats live at the Post Oak Hotel. This was Frank Beamer doubling down on what he told us months before.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I am very proud of him. You know, he got in a situation there with the dog situation. But, you know, he loved dogs. He had a dog himself while he was in college. But that was kind of a deal that kind of got turned around there a little bit.
You think got turned around a little bit?
Whether or not Michael Vick loved dogs or not, I want to say I love dogs. And I know you love dogs. And
I
feel like a dog has returned in H-Town. Framber Valdez, man, is a straight-up pit bull. You want to talk about dogs? That is a dog. And if you don't think the city of Houston doesn't appreciate dogs, listen to what it sounded like last night when Framber Valdez, who pitched 7 innings yesterday, listen to what it sounded like at the full juice box on that final pitch and tell me that the city of Houston doesn't appreciate Framber the dog. Listen to that.
That's a dog. That was an effort, man.
He's got the dog in the background, man.
Yeah, that guy. Well, I don't know if he was that, but man, when people use that term a lot, you know, this guy's a real dog. That guy's a real dog. Look at what he did last night. That is big time.
I think his walkout in music needs to be a Gucci Mane classic, straight up. I think this is what Framber Valdez needs to walk out to from now on. When that little pit bull enters the mound, when he takes the field, this is what Framber Valdez needs to come out to.
I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog. Every dog had his day, man. Every dog.
I don't know if we can play this whole
thing,
fam.
Yeah.
Little PC. Little PC. It's all right. We can play the hook.
So I see, baby.
Gucci. Yeah. This song might be working in trouble. I ain't gonna lie.
We linked up, man. Say, told me about these tracks. I'm here, buddy. I'm a dog. 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 I'm a treat her like a dog. Eat her like a dog.
There's something charismatic that comes with Framber Valdez. And I know he was on the roster last year, but adding him to this mix. And by the way, the Houston Astros, for the first time in franchise history, seven straight starts from pitchers going seven, allowing just one run.
Yeah.
That's the first time in franchise history that the Astros have ever done that. Seventh consecutive game in which a starting pitcher allowed one run. In their last seven games, 43 innings pitched, seven runs allowed, a 1.47 ERA for Astros starters. And I think just the energy, the charisma that Framber Valdez brings, along with his ability to pitch, this is his second start of the season. I don't know if I adjust expectations for the Astros, but I will say this. I know how people were feeling after Saturday's loss to the Padres. And really, it was kind of misleading because you went to extra innings. The bullpen had to pitch a lot more than they needed to, which you never want. But with Valdez coming back, with Odorizzi, who's going to be on the bump in 3 hours when the Astros go for the sweep in their fifth straight win, I don't know if expectations are being adjusted. They were already pretty high. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling pretty damn good about the Astros right now. And I think this team, we're used to them making runs. We're used to them getting to the ALCS. If the starting pitching is going to be like this as Michael Brantley returns to the lineup and the bats come back and the bullpen naturally gets better, if the pitching is like this because they have to pitch less and you're kind of forcing guys to Sugarland or Corpus Christi, my expectations are adjusted, and I think it has to do with the dog, Framber.
I think you're absolutely right, and let's think about the context of where these – you mentioned it. I saw McTaggart tweet that too. You know, seven straight starts – where your starting pitchers give up one run. Think about who they faced. That's the thing that's impressive to me. I mean, you go Dodgers, Padres, Red Sox, some of the names on those rosters, you know, can terrify pitchers, and they get it done like that. That's the most impressive part of it all. Look, you have starting pitching like that, you have a chance. I know that, you know, you're still waiting on McCullers, but you have a chance. Every team in the league.
That's another thing. You're waiting on Lance McCullers.
Yeah, you're still waiting on McCullers to come back.
He hasn't made one of these starts. You've had these seven straight starts allowing one run, and Lance McCullers isn't even here.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, with that curveball and everything else.
Think about that.
Every team in baseball can find something to complain about with their bullpen. That's why pitchers are in the bullpen. There's always going to be some question mark, you know, outside of closers about what they can do, what they cannot do. So, yeah, the Astros, you can talk about, you know, bullpen here and there, and I'm concerned about some things out there. But if you have starting pitching like that, your bullpen is rested, and your bullpen can be manipulated right, left, et cetera, all the way down.
Let's hear from Framber Valdez after the game. Julia Morales of AT&T Sportsnet, she caught up with the dog, Framber Valdez, and this is what he had to say with Julia on the field after that impressive, charismatic, electric outing yesterday, his second start of the year.
What was the adjustment that you made at the bottom half of that first inning?
Easy.
There was a time where you didn't know if you were going to pitch this season, and here you are with two great, strong, really good starts to begin your season here in 2021. What has allowed you to do that? How about right now? Four-game winning streak. How does it feel right now? How's this team feeling? Gracias to both of you.
Yeah, a lot of times you ask me to interpret someone who maybe doesn't have English as
it's
the first
ready,
name.
Man.
I can't interpret
the intensity that. I love to hear right there from Framber.
I can't interpret that one for sure.
Good Lord. Hold that guy back right there. Hold back the Astros. Going for the sweep of the Red Sox today, 1 o'clock. Jake Odorizzi on the mound. We'll see what happens there. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Astros just can't be silenced. They cannot be silenced. They do not, for lack of a better term, tuck their tail between their legs because they got their dog, and they're straight up dogs right now. They're going for the kill of Boston. Speaking of silence, John McClain complained about it last week, and it looks like he's going to get his wish. Signed in March, Tyrod Taylor is going to meet
with the media for the first time since becoming the Texans quarterback. He is going to speak 1:45. You'll hear that on the afternoon with Clint and Ron, the show Hughley. But Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback for your Houston Texans in 2021, is going to speak.
Well, first of all, John McClain, good job. You know, he rattled their cages a little bit, and we talked about it some, and it got done. I'm interested with what Tyrod Taylor says. You know what the questions are going to be. They have to be asked. Don't complain. They just have to be asked and admit it. You're curious. You're curious, even though people say, well, you know he's not going to answer that question. You're curious as to what his approach is, et cetera.
No, this is the thing, John. Yeah. You say I'm curious, but I really wouldn't have been. This is making something out of nothing. Like, Tyrod Taylor should have been available to the media a long time ago.
No, I'm saying, well, what he's going to say about the situation.
Yeah, now he's in a position where he's going to get pressed on it. But the reality is, like, the only reason that this Tyrod Taylor thing is a big deal is because they made it a big deal.
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
You hid your starting quarterback all this time. This shouldn't have even been a big deal. This should have been Tyrod Taylor, we signed him. Here's a 10-minute Zoom meeting.
Get one question on Deshaun and move on.
Aaron Wilson's going to ask you about, you know, who knows what, like some coach that had you back in college or something, like maybe Frank Beamer or something like that, and that's it. Yeah. And you're gonna be asked one Deshaun Watson question, and that's it. The fact that this is even a thing is funny, and they're putting the guy in a tough situation.
Yeah, but he can handle it.
Well, this is my thing. I'm hoping, and I don't know that this is true, and I want to know what your take is on this. I'm hoping that they're not treating him like he's a child. I'm hoping that someone isn't pulling Tyrod Taylor in and saying, all right, now when you're asked about this, I want you to say this. Now, this is what you need to say. I'm hoping he's getting treated like a grown-ass man, because that's what he is. He's a professional. He's been around for a long time. He's been in a lot of crazy situations.
I'm sure he's going to be coached a little bit, or at least alerted to what's going to be asked. But the thing is, you don't need to. He's a pro. I was listening to some of his press conferences. I went down a rabbit hole this morning. Just kind of curious, all right, what can we expect from Tyrod Taylor? And he's an absolute veteran, pro, professional, polished. There's nothing to worry about with how he's going to handle things. We also need to point out that Sean Pendergast is going to be at the workout, and he will be joining us soon after 1 o'clock as well. So we'll have you covered on that. Well, it is a big deal this time, Sean.
Yeah, it's a world famous Pinder report from practice. Mm-hmm. We haven't had one since training camp last year, so it's going to be fun to pick the brain of Sean Pendergast. I don't think there's anyone that I would rather have at practice giving us an update than Sean Pendergast. He knows what to look for. He has a very solid pulse. There is no one in the world I would rather have giving us that live report than Sean Pendergast.
All right, whatever, dude.
No, seriously, we're complimenting you.
Take a compliment, buddy.
And the offense will be reportedly on the field, so that's the first time we'll actually get to see. Okay, this guy's there, this guy's here, and what some of the interaction is.
Well, they'll probably give out a sheet saying you can't say too much, right?
Well, then, generally speaking, and they didn't really need to give a sheet out. I think most people at practices would not do that. Like, who's running first team at a particular skill position, particular plays. They're not going to be running any trick plays or anything. So it's just like the most obvious stuff you can't talk about. But I think you can talk about how a person looked, whether he's first team, second team, or whatever.
I think Clint said it the other day, and I agree. There has to be a gap between Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor in practice. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say, like, in a game, there's obviously a lot of extra stuff that comes with it that I think – allows Tyrod Taylor to be the starter heading into the season. But as far as just sitting back in t-shirts and shorts and throwing the rock, Tyrod Taylor's not known as a guy who just spins the ball. I mean, there's a reason that
the ball jumps off his hand.
Less than 6.5 yards per attempt and 60% of his completions. He's one of eight guys, I think, the last half decade to do that. So he's not going to spin it. Davis Mills, you hear about all the arm talent and stuff. There's going to have to be a significant gap between those two guys, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. We'll hear what happens. Sean Pendergast going to give us a report in the 1 o'clock hour. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Coming up, is there any chance that we are hearing from the backup quarterback of the Houston Texans later on today? And does anybody know where the weight room is? My gosh, it's getting really toolish in Wisconsin. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, I don't know what Tyrod Taylor is going to say, but I know what he shouldn't say. A.J. Dillon, second-year running back for the Green Bay Packers, really didn't do much last year. He was behind Aaron Jones, but he was a guy that Texans probably it would have been a nice draft pick instead of Ross Blacklock, if you ask me. I think he's going to be pretty good little thunder to the lightning of Aaron Jones. He went 62nd overall in the draft last year. With that said, I don't know how I feel about this guy anymore. 242 yards last season and probably the most toolish press conference probably in the last 7 years, I would
toolish?
Say. Toolish. Weaselish.
Okay.
Meatheadish.
Wow.
Weird. A.J. Dillon yesterday in Green Bay. And Tyrod Taylor, don't do this. I know that you probably got some guys in your ear telling you what to say and what not to say. I'm not sure who would be in his ear. You have any clue? Who would be in Tyrod Taylor's ear? Anybody?
Someone up the hall might swing by and or swing into the locker room. And
before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
All right, whatever you say, don't start talking about your quads, okay? I don't know what the deal is with quads. There's been some viral pics of running backs' quads, Najee Harris, Giovanni Bernard. Mm-hmm. And apparently A.J. Dillon, the second-year running back for the Green Bay Packers, is obsessed with his quads.
Obsessed.
And the Green Bay media types are kind of just taking it all in. Tyrod Taylor, do not be this guy.
I'm assuming that sweatshirt says the quad father. Am I right in saying that?
Sure does.
AJ, back to the legs. Is that a competitive thing? How do you view the whole viral legs sort of thing?
Najee had a picture from the Reese's Senior Bowl where his quads were looking big. And so I put out that maybe we can make a quad squad, no competition. But if it does come down to competition, you know, mine are the biggest, and we can put that down and state it out the strongest, you know, no big deal.
Have you officially settled on the quad father over Quadzilla?
And somebody brought up the idea of one leg being Quadzilla, the other one being quad father. So I'm going to roll with that. Either name is applicable.
Quad father or Quadzilla, and are you actually going to get any of them to call you that?
I definitely grown to love him a lot. And so obviously I got the quad father. I got Quadzilla merch out there.
Merch.
That's a lot of quad questions.
There's a line in the sand. Look, I'm not a guy who works out very often. I'm not at all. So I'm not one to whatever you want to be proud of, you can be proud of. But how many dudes in the world? And 713-572-4610. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. We got some fat loopholes. We got some skinny loopholes. We got some jack loopholes. We got some scrawny loopholes. They come in many different shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. How many dudes are really sitting around bragging about their quads? Because that just seems kind of weird to me. Look, it's me, okay?
And
I like a lot of weird stuff. But how many dudes are sitting there bragging about their quads
and
selling merchandise?
And move on.
If you buy that shirt, then I don't want to know you.
Yeah.
If you're buying a quad father shirt and you're rocking that, I don't want to know you.
Yeah. You know who has great quads? I got great quads.
I don't care, John.
That's the point. You don't hear me bragging.
You gonna
about
get
it.
That shirt?
Yeah. First of all, I doubt it.
I'll
second
show you.
Of all, I don't need to see these.
Oh my god.
Quads.
Here you
chill
go.
Out, bro. These are not gonna be that great.
He's walking over the Landry.
Now those are normal. Yeah, those are normal. Yeah,
Figgy, I'll show you. They're more than normal.
Go show Figgy. See how he reacts. I feel kind of weird right now.
Great quads right here. But you don't hear me bragging about
him. Well, I can see why. He's walking in. Oh, he's about to come in here for real. He's walking in there. Dude, he's a hairy dude, by the way. It's pretty disgusting, Figgy. Lopez in there showing the quad. There's nothing special about that. Figgy, you see?
Okay, I see you. Okay.
What does that mean? That's what Tyrod Taylor should not do. Don't brag about the quads. He is going to be asked about Deshaun Watson. I'm assuming he's going to do similar to what David Culley did, and he's going to say, you know, I'm not here to talk about it. I'm here to compete. He's going to be asked about Davis Mills because he has the experience doing that. I do wonder if this could be the beginning of a quarterback competition. The competition's thrown out there. I think Tyrod Taylor's your week one starter. No matter what, but I'm assuming he's going to be asked about his past experience and how he's going to handle it. But just don't stay off the quads, please.
Stay off the quads. Don't brag about your quads. That was way too many questions. You know, when the whole time I was listening to that.
Bro, you're selling merchandise for quads.
Well, here's the thing. The whole time, every franchise has a John McClain, right? Someone who's been there 20, 30, 40 years. In McClain's case, 45 years. How many eye rolls were the old salts, you know, were the old ink-stained wretches that were used to work for newspapers? How many eye rolls did they pass at these people that were asked? What was it, four questions about quads?
Yeah, he's trying to create a brand.
Don't somebody.
Try too hard. If anyone's buying that sweater, just kind of back off. Seriously.
Yeah, well, like, I agree.
Legit back off. It's not a good look.
I totally agree. On Tyrod Taylor, I have no doubt he's going to handle
this
it.
This shouldn't have even been hyped. This should have been Tyrod Taylor's available to media. Move on the end. I truly think that the public relations and the way in which stuff has been handled so far has been brought into question with the availability of Tyrod Taylor. And the only reason that I'm even saying it and the only reason I'm even bringing it up is because I don't think it's the guys who actually have the titles. And I don't want these guys. I just think they're falling on the sword. I think there's a lot of foolishness and a lot of meddling that's going on that is putting guys like Tyrod Taylor in a tough spot, that is putting people in a tough spot to where you're getting ridiculed and mocked like you were last week with the numbers and whatever the meddling is, just back off a little bit and just realize that the paranoia needs to stop because you're putting yourself in a tough spot. You're putting me in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Quit doing dumb stuff. Well, like that's really it. Like if I'm talking to any of my friends and there's a certain amount of loyalty that comes with being in the city and, you know, all this type of stuff, quit putting Figgy in spot to where we have to criticize you for doing dumb stuff.
You used the word paranoia, and that's where I was going to go. It's the definition of paranoia. You worry about things that you shouldn't have to worry about. It's unwarranted either worry or jealousy or fear. How after watching Tyrod Taylor all these years, listening to him, knowing what he's been through something very similar with Baker Mayfield, where they're asking him questions about the other guy, you know? And that's one of the ones I was listening to earlier today. He's handled it like a pro. The paranoia is not Tyrod Taylor. I don't want to go out there and face these guys. He's always been very, very public, very, very accessible, et cetera. It's someone else over there, or it's some people over there that
I'm a people person
that are doing this.
Man. Yeah. You're putting people in tough spots. You're making the organization look silly, and you're putting us in a tough spot as well, doing goofy stuff like this. Tyrod Taylor, it's great that we're going to get to hear from him. Should have heard from him back in March or earlier than that, like other teams made their quarterbacks available. So let's stop with the foolishness. Let the people who know how to do their job because it's putting people in a tough spot. It's making you look silly, and it's really creating more problems than it's preventing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I'm very intrigued by this case study. So a year ago today, we're going to hear from David Culley today in the 2 o'clock hour, as well as Tyrod Taylor. You'll hear that on the afternoon show with Clint and Ron Hughley. Bill O'Brien actually spoke a year ago today, and I want to see how this travels with time. Bill O'Brien then to where the Texans are now.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
Do we miss him?
next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 6.
All right, how does it travel with time? 1 year ago today, Bill O'Brien met with the media types. David Culley and Tyrod Taylor are going to meet with the media when you hear Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley at 2 o'clock. Bill O'Brien, one of the most hated guys, I would say, in the history of this town. You've been here longer than I. Is that a fair statement
to
make?
That is more than fair.
But how does he travel with time? Right now, the Texans are projected to be the worst team in the NFL. They have the oldest roster in the NFL. They've made 10 draft picks in 2 years.
We're not all stat guys.
Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, they combined powers to present the city of Houston with the worst display of running of an organization maybe in the history of this city, definitely up there when it comes to the worst way to run an NFL organization. And here we are now.
Hey, you're not exactly enhancing the travel well with time theory.
Well, I mean, the expectations were different. Deshaun Watson wasn't pissed off. Deshaun Watson was riding and dying with B.O.B. You were coming off the lead against the Kansas City Chiefs 24-0, despite the fact you'd kind of gotten rid of some key pieces. But let's just hear what Bill O'Brien had to say. Let's just pause, react, reminisce. I have no idea how I'm going to react to this, but let's just go back a year ago today to when King Bill was holding court right down the street at NRG in the same building where David Culley and Tyrod Taylor are going to hold court later today.
One thing that, you know, I want to talk about today is going to take, you know, a few minutes.
Oh, gosh.
I think over the last 8-9 days, like all of you, we've been thinking and listening and trying to understand. And I wanted to take a few minutes and speak on behalf of our organization, but also speak from my heart. I would say first, on behalf of the Houston Texans, we want to send our deepest.
Hold on. This was on the social issues back in the day. With Bill O'Brien. This was actually mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien, probably the highest his approval rating had been in the city, I would say.
Certainly in this studio. I mean, we talked about it immediately after.
Here was more from B.O.B.
Our deepest condolences to the family of George Floyd, Houston's own George Floyd. You know, the more I read about George and think about George and know that he played football at Yates High School and how much he loved Houston and how much he loved his family, and watching his family over the last 3 or 4 days and how just passionate and how just unbelievably strong they have been, whether it's here in Houston or when they went to pray where he was murdered in Minneapolis. They've just been a great example for this country.
Now, I play this because this is the example of when Bill O'Brien's approval was, I would say, decent. I would say this was probably the peak of Bill O'Brien, the person. And then we all know what happened.
Yeah, more so because it was unguarded and it was sincere, and it wasn't about football. I mean, I hate to be crass, but that's what came across.
That was really what the Bill O'Brien. I don't know if it was like a pivotal moment, but I don't know if it was more so that what Bill O'Brien was saying or the fact that it was somewhat of like a distraction away from the one of the worst off seasons in the history of the NFL.
I don't think it was necessarily planned that way. I think he was being sincere. You know, he when he's unguarded and casual, he can be a very easy guy to talk with and very engaging. And you and I have had that experience with him in various situations. So, no, I think that was very sincere.
Do you miss Bill O'Brien at all? Just where we are right now. And I know that we were on a mediocre treadmill, and I know that we were in a situation where you could only go a certain place with Bill O'Brien. You could win division titles, and then eventually you're going to get outclassed in the playoffs. But you did have a quarterback who was on board. You had a head coach who, as frustrating as he was, it looked like the arrow was pointing down. Do you think there's going to be a situation where we miss Bill O'Brien?
No, because as we talked about, I mentioned the day after the Kansas City Chiefs game in the playoffs, I knew right then that was the ceiling. You couldn't get to where I want this team to go with Bill O'Brien. So what I care about most when it comes to the Houston Texans, the team, the game, and how they play, I don't miss him in the least bit. I will say this, and I think this is kind of where you're leaning. I don't know if this was defending Bill O'Brien, but I think it was explaining that I didn't think he was trash. I often said, you've heard, I said it to you and Figgy, that if there were 32, a ranking of the 32 head coaches, in my view, he was 16.
Wow, that's generous.
He was the mean.
That's really generous.
He was just a good, decent football coach. He was right in the middle. Now.
You're a nice guy.
I'm talking about his coaching, Landry.
I am too.
Once he took over the general managership with Jack Easterby, then he plummeted and everything went to hell. But I talk about like just as a coach, you know, I think he was
in the 20s at least. I mean,
well, I always said 16. He's the middle. He's, you know, and so I think he knows X's and O's enough. He's just not a next level guy.
Yeah, and I think the offense was handcuffed because of O'Brien. I think the in-game stuff was rough. But I do wonder, like, revisionist history, when you look back at stuff, a lot of times you get kind of skewed and you just start looking at records. I do wonder, like, if this doesn't work out, and let's say the Texans struggle to find a quarterback, and let's say the Texans are struggling to find young talent, and let's say, God forbid, they don't get decent compensation for Deshaun Watson and they don't get assets that can help them build their roster, people are going to look back at this and say, 4 out of 5 division titles, and oh my gosh, we're the worst team. Was it really that bad with O'Brien? The thing that I think about Bill O'Brien is he's almost like a guy that was driving the Titanic and then got on a lifeboat.
Yeah,
like it's like he was driving this into the iceberg, and part of me just wishes, because I think in his sick, twisted mind, and I think in the twisted mind of many, if the Texans don't get back to at least that point, it's going to be difficult without Deshaun Watson. I kind of would have liked Bill O'Brien in a strange way, knowing now what I do know, that Deshaun Watson wants out, and knowing that David Culley is here, and I don't have much faith in David Culley as a head coach. Part of me wishes that Bill O'Brien could have been here when it crashed and burned.
Because I hear you.
When it crashed and burned. Part of me wishes that I could sit back and watch Bill O'Brien hit rock bottom and actually have to coach the roster that he put together instead of just basically screwing stuff up and then having someone else clean the mess.
I mean, he's responsible for it, and I don't think anybody will ever forget that. So even though he was here, he was not here, I think most people will never forgive Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien because they were directly responsible for the dismantling of an entire organization. So whether he was here or not doesn't really matter to me. I mean, until my last breath, somebody asked me about, you know, this era of Texans football, I will know and I will tell them that Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien ruined it.
Are you a little bit worried that Jack Easterby, because he's been able to meddle around, and if you talk about Bill O'Brien jumping ship before it crashes, when he's the one that drives it into the iceberg,
Jack Easterby was helping. And absolutely. Jack Easterby kind of threw Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien was like Jack Easterby's shield.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't when Jack Easterby, before there was actually tangible proof that this organization was as bad as we already knew it was, and there was actually tangible proof, Jack Easterby was front and center. We were hearing 100%. From Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby was 100%. He would speak to anyone. He would talk about culture. He would talk about the players that they got,
about
all that.
Doing contracts.
And now all of a sudden, Jack Easterby's just kind of changing the role a little bit and laying low a little bit. And there he is. I fear, and I've heard McLean say this a couple times, and it makes me puke when I hear it. I fear that the expectations are so low, and there are people projecting, you know, 2 wins, 3 wins, underdogs in every game. The expectations are so low that now all of a sudden, if the Texans win 6 games or something like that, we're going to act like, oh, look what they're doing. They got something going.
Yeah.
When I'll give Nick Caserio credit for that, but I almost feel like Jack Easterby in his mind is going to say, see, people doubted us. Here we go. We got 6 wins. We're trying to rebuild this thing. But you had a hand in screwing it up.
Get ready. They're going to do that. If nothing else, because they're not going to say, well, we really ruined that and now we have 6 wins. I mean, they're not going to talk about the fact that how they got here. If they do win 5-6 games or more, they're going to be taking victory laps. Probably Jack Easterby leading the way. And it shouldn't be forgotten that victory lap that they're taking, you never even should have gotten to where 6 wins, to use your example, is something to brag about.
Expectations, I think, you know, 6 wins in some places would be impressive. I think in some spots you could say that, but I think before a season you lay out realistic expectations. Sometimes it's fluid. Sometimes those expectations change. But I'm not going to sit here and give credit to the Texans if they win five. I mean, we're gonna break it down. We're gonna cover the gray area, but McLean has said multiple times, well, if they win 6, people expect them to win 2. That's how you get credibility. Oh man, that just can't be how it works.
They can't be taking that victory lap, and I think most Texans fans who have followed this team over the last few years are going to know better. But it's going to happen, absolutely. I mean, they're putting a spin on these guys. I mean, all due respect, they're putting a team on a roster of misfit toys, you know. I don't mean to just bash, but we know what it is. These are guys on short-term contracts, aging, question marks, all kinds of stuff, and they're putting a spin on that. If they get some success, even minimal success, they're going to do it even.
Selling a little. Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's your biggest knock on Nick Caserio, the GM, right now?
It's still too early to if I had to do something like based on this small sample size, I think it's way too early to judge him. But if I had to do something, I'd probably say my biggest knock on Nick Caserio is not getting on with the Deshaun Watson stuff. But I know it's not totally his call. That's an ownership call. It's an NFL call. Figure something out. Get the most when you can. When you came in, take the bullets early on. I mean, you know, he could have done something with Deshaun Watson a long time ago.
What's the consequence for looking too much like the Patriots?
Oh, that's another one. That's a possibility.
No, but what is the consequence? Because Cal McNair made it a point to say that they weren't the Patriots, they were the Texans. What exactly is the consequence for that? Is there anything? Is it just like I said it, but maybe that's not the case? Does he care enough? Is Cal McNair, is he just going to sit back and watch? Like, is that what we're doing? Because that's what he did with O'Brien, and I think it's kind of part of the reason that we're in the situation we're in. How does he handle that?
Who's he going to pay the consequences to?
That's what I'm asking.
There's no one above him. There's other than fans and buying tickets and the criticism he gets, you know, across the country. That's the only consequence is criticism. I mean, if you've got 12, 10, however many players, you know, that are with Patriots ties or Easterby ties or Caserio ties or whatever, that's what you are. And to say you're not, I mean, it's just kind of silly.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. David Culley, Tyrod Taylor going to meet with the media at 1:00. Is there anything Tyrod Taylor can say that would make you excited about the possibility of Tyrod Taylor starting for your football team?
I'm going to be really plugged into every word that he says. I think I like the guy. I like the way he handles the public. But there's not going to be anything that makes me makes me think, you know, oh wow, you know, that was a big maybe. But I don't think I wouldn't expect anything where you oh wow moments where he claims, you know, ownership of the job or whatever. I'm sure he's going to be very diplomatic.
I just want to put in perspective the reality of Tyrod Taylor being the starting quarterback for the Texans. And I mean no disrespect to the guy. He's a professional. He started nearly 50 games in the NFL. When it comes to being a backup, when it comes to being a stopgap guy, I think he's one of the ideal guys. But I just want to go through these situations and tell me just tell me if you would rather have Tyrod Taylor or this quarterback. I'm going to make this simple.
All right.
Josh Allen.
Come on.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Probably Tyrod Taylor at this point. I had to think. What do you think, Figgy?
I'll take Tua. Yeah.
Give me Tua.
Yeah. Cam Newton or Mac Jones?
Cam and Mac.
Zach Wilson. Dak Prescott. Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Jalen Hurts. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Give me Fitzy.
Lamar Jackson.
Joe Burrow.
Baker Mayfield.
Big Ben.
Justin Fields or Andy Dalton?
Yes.
Jared Goff?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love?
Either.
Kirk Cousins. Carson Wentz?
Wentz.
Trevor Lawrence.
Come on.
Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill.
Matt Ryan. Sam Darnold.
Darnold.
Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill?
Yes, Jameis, no Taysom.
Tom Brady. Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater?
Both.
Patrick Mahomes.
Come on.
Derek Carr.
Carr.
Justin Herbert.
Herbert.
Kyler Murray.
Of course.
Matt Stafford.
Of course.
Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes.
Russell Wilson?
Yes.
We basically just, and I agree with everything there, I would take two as well. Texans have the worst. They've gone from having one of the best to the worst starting quarterback situation in the NFL. Think about that.
Well, you heard Greg Rosenthal yesterday say they have the worst skill position players in the league. All of them. Running back, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback.
That's where we're sitting. Live report with Sean Pendergast.
No victory laps, please.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The Astros, 2 hours from looking for blood. Speaking of expectations, just how good is this squad? There are statistics that lean towards another ALCS or better appearance for the Astros. We'll get into it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.